Welcome to A Higher Branch, a source of practical and powerful information for busy people dedicated to boosting their personal health and professional performance. I'm your host, Sam McCall. Hello and welcome to our first episode of 2022. We have had an extended break and I must confess that I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did miss producing these podcasts for our community, but I felt like I needed a really long break to just reconnect with family, friends, my goals at work, the plan for this year, and just to process what happened in 2021, not just in my life, but in the world. And it was a period where I took the time just to reflect and recalibrate and indulge in some self-care. And without the pressure of work and having to research and produce this podcast. And I like to produce this podcast where I'm in a state where I'm having fun and also enjoying the process of researching, gathering information, and sharing it with you. It does take a lot of time out of my day and it takes a lot of my energy as well. And I love producing it and I love sharing information with people. My lens is always, there could be one or two things that I share with you that will make an impact in your life. Because I've had that in my life. I've had people that have shared that information over the years that have helped my life immensely. And we live in an era where we can communicate with each other via these podcasts. And I'm absolutely privileged and honored to be sharing more podcasts with you in 2022. So let's kick it off today with, I'm going to give you an insight into what is coming up in 22, the podcast we have, the structure, the guests. And I'm also going to kick it off today with information on what I personally learned in 2021, because it was a defining moment in the history of mankind. And there was a lot of things happening and it's continued to happen. And I think we all learned quite a few lessons that will shape our future and will shape the way that we manage our health, our relationship with our partners, our family, our work colleagues, our friends, our continued learning, the way we manage our wealth, and our approach to charity and making a contribution in this world. And what I, of course, just went through and I cycled through the eight areas of life. So if you are new to our podcast, we have two frameworks that are the foundational principles for A Higher Branch. And it's made up of what you need to focus on in life. And these are the eight areas of life, I call them, which fill eight fundamental human needs. And going through them, our first fundamental human need is for energy. Without energy, we cannot really enjoy our life. And we cannot get more done in less time. And energy is represented by health. The second area is love, and that fills our fundamental human need for intimacy, not just physical but emotional. And that's why being in a loving relationship is so important for our well-being. Third is family, which represents the fundamental human need for unconditional love and support, because family gives us the permission to be comfortable, to be fearless, to do things knowing that if we fail, we still have our family that will love us unconditionally. The fourth area is work, which fills a fundamental human need for fulfillment and purpose. Fifth is friendship, which fills a fundamental human need for belonging. So, so important. We have a podcast coming up on the importance of connectedness in this new pandemic era. The next area of life is learning, which fills a fundamental human need for personal growth. Without continuous learning, we will stop growing. And growth is just hardwired in us. It's a fundamental human need. When we don't grow, we feel like we're stagnating. And I often meet people who are unhappy or sometimes even depressed. And it's purely because they just have a stagnation of their human spirit, because the human spirit craves growth. It craves progress. The next area is wealth. And wealth fills the fundamental human need for freedom. Fortunately or unfortunately, we live in an era where wealth is measured in monetary terms. And whenever we transfer value to fellow humans, we get paid in money. And it's money that allows us to live life on our own terms, to do what we want, when we want. The key to wealth, however, is to define it frugally. It's to define wealth in real terms. Wealth is having your health. Wealth is having love in your life, your family, strong family bonds. It's having a job that fulfills you. It's having friends that make you laugh. It's the joy of reading a book and learning and growing. So once you define your wealth in real terms, then you have absolute freedom. Then you actually need a lot less to be happy, to be free. Now, the last area is the area of charity, which fills a fundamental human need for contribution. As humans, we value ourselves in equal proportion to the value we add to others, meaning that we are happiest when we are helping others. So on that note, today I'm going to download my learnings for 2021 in those eight areas of life. Okay, so here we go. Now, these are my learnings, and I'd love to know what your learnings are as well. So if some of these resonate with you, please share with me whether you want to add something to it or give me your own personal experience. And if you have your own learnings, please share those with myself and my team. And we're going to publish an article that we're going to send to our 57,000 followers that are part of our tribe, part of our community. And from that, we're going to share it with everyone. And then we're going to have this incredible manual for life going forward. And whenever you listen to whether it's my learnings or other people's learning, always look at it with a critical eye as to how that applies to you, because we are all different. What lights you up is different to what lights me up. What brings me down is different to what brings you down. So please listen to everything that we say on this podcast or any other podcast or any book that you're reading or listening to, you know, with a critical eye or a critical ear. I'm not suggesting here you be cynical or skeptical, because people share information. Almost everyone I know that shares information comes from a place of love. Again, you need to know what really works for you, what applies in your personal circumstances. Because I have come across people that hear something or read something that really resonates with them intellectually, but they try and implement it in their life and it just doesn't work and it causes problems. But look, I'm going to share with you my learnings for 2021 in the hope that one or more or all might resonate with you. And I'm going to cycle through the eight areas of life, starting with your health. And the health really is the center of our life force. It's the center of our life universe, if you like. So health, as I said earlier, is measured by energy. When you have high energy, you know your health is on track. When you have energy throughout the day, or you have energy dips, or if you wake up tired, or if you have an energy dip in the afternoon, pay attention to what your body is trying to tell you. Whether it's energy dips or aches and pains, it's your body's message. You know, heed that message. Don't ignore that message. Don't distract that message. Don't hide that message. When you have energy dips, don't hide it with coffee. Right? We are wired. We are innately energetic. So when we have energy dips and we camouflage it with, you know, caffeine to spike our energy, that's just telling our body to shut up. And it's not respectful to your life force, your inner essence, your spirit, because it's your spirit talking to you. You are not your thoughts. You are not your distractions. You are not your circumstances. You are the essence that witnesses what's going on, which is why meditation is a medium for you to get in touch with that inner spirit. And we did cover an amazing podcast on that in October last year on meditation as one of the four daily rituals. And again, if you are new to our podcast, I urge you to go back and listen to my series on the 4-5-6 system that we published last year. It was extremely popular and we got so much feedback from people on how valuable that was. Honestly, when you go back to that, a lot of people emailed saying, we've paid thousands of dollars for programs that have delivered less value to what you shared on your podcast. And that 4-5-6 system is a sub-framework to the other second main framework of a higher branch called the Circle of Conscious Living. Living consciously, I designed this system called the 4-5-6 system, made up of 4 daily rituals, 5 daily habits, and 6 daily life hacks. And they each stack on top of each other. You cannot sow the habits or infuse your day with life hacks without the 4 daily rituals. You know, I meet people who just infuse their day with all these life hacks, but it's so disjointed that they don't have the daily rituals and they don't have the right habits to stack on top of that. So it's the 4 rituals, 5 daily habits, and the 6 life hacks. And I kicked it off in episode 99, where I framed and gave the context for the 4-5-6 system with the podcast number 99 on why you should not rely on motivation and why relying on motivation ruins your life. So let me now return to 2022 and my learnings from 2021 that will help you design the life that you want in 22 and beyond. So with health, these are the things that I've learned. I've learned, number one, that there is a strong connection between sleep and stress. Lack of good quality sleep causes you stress or anxiety, and then that stress and anxiety then causes a disturbed sleep, and then you're caught in this negative pattern. What came first, the poor sleep or the stress? You need to ask yourself that question. Was the poor sleep caused by artificial light at night? Was it caused by watching too much news media on the pandemic? Did that then cause a stress? And then the stress led you down this path, this negative loop of poor sleep, high stress, poor sleep, high stress. A lot of people think that they suffer from anxiety and that's causing their poor quality sleep, when in fact it's poor quality sleep that's causing their anxiety. And I learned through my interactions with family and friends that there is that strong connection between the two. So stress management, the ultimate stress management, is not just exercise. And I'll talk about that as another learning, but it's great quality sleep. And great quality sleep, for me, one of my learnings started, it was a transformative, and we've got a podcast coming up with Dr. Scott Wistenberg on this, is that I switched off all media as soon as the sun went down, and I sat and connected with my family. And if my family was out doing stuff, or they weren't at home, or they're doing their own thing, I actually picked up the phone and spoke to people and got connected. And that really primes your body for sleep. So, number one learning. Number two learning I learned was that socializing is absolutely essential for our health. And when you socialize, either by phone or more importantly, face-to-face, that there is this energy transference, especially when you're socializing with people that make you laugh, people that are fun or are funny. And I'm going to talk about friendship and give you my learnings about friendship in the context of who and who you should not be socializing with. But getting back to socializing, we have another podcast coming up on the importance of connectedness or socializing. In fact, the podcast series I have coming up is going to cover the seven S's. And the first S is sunshine. Then we're going to cover sleep, stress management, starvation as in fasting, strength as in exercise, socializing as in connectedness. And we are going to also cover the three other incidental S's, and pardon my French, it's sex, supplements, and the use of saunas, which are so important. But getting back to today's learning, so you'll find I'm going to touch on the learnings for 2021, but we're going to do a deeper dive into each one of these learnings, what I call the seven S's, in the next seven episodes of A High Branch. And you don't want to miss those because I recorded them with Dr. Scott Wistenberg, who is an incredible thought leader right here in Australia, a mind-blowing health expert that I have been personally working with. I always use myself as a guinea pig before I share anything with our community. So we're going to cover those seven S's. We're also going to be covering the absolutely three essential tests that everyone on this planet should be doing to take control of their health, because the medical system at the moment is so outdated. It is reactive rather than proactive. It is focused not on prevention, but on trying to cure. And a cure is almost always fraught with side effects and medications, and sometimes it takes years to reverse the damage that could have been averted way early on if you did these three tests and were armed with this information about who you are, your bio-individuality, because we are all bio-individual. And the reason why the government doesn't talk about these tests that you can do to get to know thyself is because it's expensive, right? And we understand that the government only has so much money to spend on these things and they have to prioritize. And that's a separate political discussion that I never get into, but respect the fact that they're doing their best. But realistically, these are tests that you should pay for. And it's the best investment that you're going to make. And so stay tuned for those seven episodes that are coming up on the podcast. Now, back to health and my learnings. The other thing that I learned is that sustenance, as in nutrition, the food we eat, is not as important as we think. sleep, sunshine, stress management, socializing, strength are way more important. Absolutely way more important. Now, if you do these tests and figure out that you do have some intolerances, of course you need to stay away from certain foods that are highly inflammatory for your body and that literally make your body angry, because your gut is connected to your emotions. And if your gut gets angry, so do you. I've actually treated people with gut issues by referring them to experts, and lo and behold, their emotions like anger and fear subsided. And it was purely we treated the second brain, which is the gut. But my point is, my learning for 2021 is that how much you eat, when you eat, and how you eat is much more important. So we all know that we shouldn't eat too much. The other thing is that we shouldn't snack between meals. We should be totally digested before we have the next meal. When we eat, the number one tip that I can give you here is don't eat after the sun goes down. And that will be a game changer. I learned that because in 2021, I stopped eating after dark. And then that improved my sleep. That reduced my stress. And that then in turn, when I'd wake up, improved my strength, so I was able to exercise better. And all of that boosted my energy, which made me a lot more fun to socialize. You know, the sixth S in that 7S series. So the third thing about nutrition is how you eat is super important. You should not eat when you're stressed. I always go for a walk or do exercise before I eat. And if I'm still not stressed, I will meditate. I will do some deep breathing. And we're going to cover these topics in the next 7 episodes. So they're my learnings for the area of health, but there is one more top learning that I had in 2021. And I'm going to touch on that later when it comes to the area of friendship. But it is that humans thrive on novelty. We are designed to do different things every day. We experience the world through our 5 senses, and our 5 senses crave novelty. When we do the same things, smell the same food, eat the same food, touch the same things, drive the same way to work, or brush our teeth in the same hand, sit in the same spot on the lounge, flick the remote, watch the same news clips, that is your dead zone. That's where your 5 senses go to die. That has a huge impact on your energy levels. So the number one learning for me when it comes to health is that we crave novelty. You need to have variety in your life, variety of foods, variety of experiences, which is why you will find that stress levels in the world went up dramatically in 2021, not just because people were fearful of getting this unknown virus that was novel and the news media that went around, but they got stressed because they actually stopped experiencing novelty. They stayed at home, they worked from home, and they started listening to these gurus on the social media who say, eat this and eat that, and this is the diet. And I know some people that eat the same things every day because they think it's healthy, whereas in fact, our body craves variety. Our body even craves, and this is something I learned from Dr. Scott Wurstenberg, and he talks about in this episode that's coming up, is that our body craves even food that is slightly stressful on our microbiome, that is slightly stressful in our bodies, because our body actually adjusts. Our body needs a slight amount of stress to make it resilient, to make it stronger. So we need novelty in all the 8 areas of life, with our partners, having picnics, reading books, going on different walks, not just the same path every day, with our family, with our kids. At work, we need novelty. We call that innovation at work, and that is turning up and looking for better ways to do things. With our friends, we need novelty. With our continuous learning different things, not just learning about health. Reading different books about multiple topics to do with the 8 areas of life. For me, if you ask me what books I'm reading, I always go back to I'm reading books on health, love, family, work, friendship, even learning itself, as in Jim Quick's book is a book on learning how to learn, right? I read books on wealth, and I even read books on charity and how to make a contribution. I don't read books on political issues or areas that I have no control over, and you shouldn't either, because it's stressful. People call that knowing what's going on in the world. I call that stressing myself out. when you read things, are exposed to things that you can't control, it stresses you out. But when you read things that allow you to make changes in your life, then you feel more empowered. So novelty of reading is also important. Novelty with the way you manage your wealth. I mean, financial planners call that diversifying, right? Diversifying your wealth portfolio. It's not just in real estate. It could be in shares, different types of shares. Is it in food shares? Is it in mining shares or energy stocks or tech stocks? Everything is about variety. It's about novelty. We need novelty in our life to make us feel alive. If you can live 70 years with novelty and live a full life, or you can live 100 years with no novelty, I know which one I'd rather live, right? Because novelty boosts your health. It balances your hormones. Okay, now let's look at the next area of life, the area of love, and what my learning was. Now, during the pandemic, there was two phenomena with relationships. Partners that were forced to spend more time together, either separated and then divorced, or it brought them closer together. What's the difference? What happened there? What was happening in our society? Now, I think it's a good thing, because often people stay in a relationship and they're coexisting, and the relationship, they're not really focusing on it because they're so distracted with their life that they never are forced to face the dysfunction in their relationship, the emotional disconnectedness. And so I think the pandemic then brought people face to face with that dysfunction, and regrettably it did cause people to part, but I think I see that as a positive. Rather than living this numb life for many, many years with the same person, it allowed them to stay friends and then connect with new people, and they knew what they wanted because the pandemic made the people focus. I don't want to say the pandemic, it's more the restrictions, staying at home, spending more time with your partner, made people realize what they really want out of that partnership. Now, for some people, like my wife and I, it actually brought us closer together, and it's a positive. So my learning from that is that a relationship can either make you or break you. So my advice is either get out or commit. And once you commit to working on the relationship. Now that the restrictions are lifted, don't go back into distraction mode where you just ignore the relationship. A relationship needs to be nurtured. You need to work just as hard in your relationship as you do at work. We studied for many years at school, at university, and that's why in the area of learning, I'm reading books on how to be a better partner in a relationship. And there's multiple books out there written by pioneering minds that have spent sometimes not just months, but years downloading all their knowledge. And we can read that in a few days. That's just an incredible privilege. So what does it mean to work on a relationship? It means one-on-one time. It means going for walks together, reading together. It doesn't mean watching TV together. That does not count. And I'm going to talk about that in the context of the next learning about family, especially if you have kids. But just know as well that with loving another person comes from the same place of your heart as loving yourself, meaning that if you don't nurture your eight areas of life and work on them, then you're not going to be in a position where you can love someone else. Okay, now let's go to the area of family. My learning for 2021 is that you need to spend one-on-one time with your closest family. Closest family means your partner, of course. Your partner is not just your lover, they're also your family. But when you have kids, and that is spending one-on-one time with them. So for parents that are listening, when you hear the advice, spend more time with your kids, my learning from 2021 is spend more time with them individually. So one-on-one time. Discuss their goals and dreams. Really listen. Don't preach. Don't use fear or guilt when it comes to your kids. And I say that with the utmost of respect, because I do see parents using those two emotions to get their kids to cooperate or to eat better or to go to sleep early. If I see my son or daughter eating a chocolate cookie or a cake or something that we consider naughty, you know, my daughter now is an adult and she started going out at night with her friends, and it's an amazing time, that period between school and university. She comes home now, she's never eaten McDonald's in her life, but she gets home and it's late and they've got the munchies and they eat McDonald's, right? Now, it's so easy to get the urge to say, do you know how bad that is for your health? But I sit back and I remember what Dr. Guy Winch told me, and that is your emotional well-being is so much more important than your physical well-being. It's nice to have both, but the guilt you give your kids by saying, hey, this is bad for you, is a lot worse than the damage of eating what we consider is junk food. And some of the longest living people on the planet, people that drink wine, smoke, eat cheese, eat chocolate. So there's clearly what we eat is not as important as what we think. Those seven S's I talked about earlier that we're going to cover in the future podcast, they're the ones that will create your goal for longevity. Okay, now let's move on to work and my learnings in 2021. And this is something I share with my team. So if you're listening to me and you either own a business where you are responsible for other people that are working with you, and I say responsible because you are responsible. It's not just about their productivity. It's about their personal growth. It's about their development. So if you are a person that hires other people, is responsible for other people, or you could be a person that works for someone else. And I have no bias either way. I'm an entrepreneur and I own a business, but I also value the fact that you can also work for someone and treat it like it's your own business and they treat you like a partner, like I do with my team. I treat every person in my team like they are joint owners, even though they're not responsible for the balance sheet. And in return, they treat the business like it's their own business. But in either one of these cases, I want you to know that the true source of happiness at work is not just the work that you do. This is my top learning for 2021. And this was really a defining or a game changer for me and my team, because for the previous 30 years of my career, I've heard this constant message from motivational gurus who say, if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. And there is some truth to that. So yes, doing what you love is important, but it's secondary. I think loving what you do is the primary focus. We are not born to be doctors or lawyers or landscapers or plumbers. It's not the work we do that brings us happiness. What I've learned is that the true source of happiness at work comes from the people you are working with. Because every job becomes mundane after a while. It's just human nature. Once you master something, it becomes second nature. And it's a good thing. That's why humans are wired for muscle memory, where we do things without even thinking. So work will become a place where you do things. And it just, we misinterpret that as, oh, it's boring because I've mastered it. So I'm going to talk about how we should really interpret that feeling of, oh, my job is boring. But staying on the true source of happiness at work, let me tell you this. You can love the task that you do, but if you work in an environment that's toxic, that's competitive, and there's backstabbing, you're absolutely going to hate it, whether you work 3 hours or 1 hour. Well, I always say I'd rather work 8 hours or 9 hours in a job where I love the team and the dynamic and the culture is so positive. I couldn't work 2 hours in the office if it was toxic. Absolutely not. It's a stress, right? So don't fall into this trap of chasing the job of your dreams. Yes, do a job that caters to your strengths. If you're a communicator, do a job that caters to that communication skill. If you're a person that prefers to look at a screen and critically analyze something and work one-on-one with your computer, then yes, do that job. But in all cases, whether you are a surgeon or a paralegal or a mortgage broker or a beautician or a yoga instructor, ultimately, we enjoy the connection with others. And that's what brings us happiness. So that's the primary thing that makes us happy. And the secondary things that make us happy that no one likes to talk about, definitely not employers, is that ultimately people in a job want two things. They want more time to spend at home and they want to be paid more money. Now, let me clarify what I mean by more time. If you are working long hours, you are robbing yourself of time in the seven other areas of life. Remember, work is one of the eight areas. The seven other areas is where you can get your sunshine, you can get your socializing, you can get your strength training, you can get your intimacy, your connection. That's why I always say the responsibility of all employers is to manage their business in such a way that is so highly automated, so efficient. And that only comes by investing in the right systems, computer systems, tools, whatever it is that you do. That allows your people to be so efficient that they can get more done in less time. That allows them to go home at the right hour, I don't like anyone working past 5 p.m. in the office. That way they can go home and get the seven S's in their life. That will mean they have a good night's sleep. They'll show up the next day with high energy, and you're then caught in a positive cycle of having more energy, which allows you to get more done in less time. You master that skill, which means that you can get more done in less time and actually spend less time at work. Because work is an important area of life, but we ruin it because we spend too much time at it. Just like if you were to spend too much time in your relationship, or too much time with your friends, or too much time with your kids, or too much time at the gym, or too much time reading books. You can't just fulfill one fundamental human need and ignore the others. And that's the mistake that people make at work. And that's why it's super important to work at a place that gives you more time at home, i.e. less time in the office. That's why it's important to work for an organization that is so highly efficient that they're highly profitable and they're able to pay you more money. Because the converse is a trap. The converse is you work for an organization that is not so efficient. So you have to work longer hours. And because you have to work longer hours, let's face it, salaries is the highest cost item on any balance sheet of any business, means they have less profit. They have less profit. They can't afford to pay you more. And getting back to then my original point about every job becomes mundane and don't fall into the trap of chasing the job that the gurus say, you know, lights you up, or every job becomes mundane, every friendship becomes mundane, every relationship becomes mundane. And that's why people leave jobs. That's why people leave relationships, because they fall into this trap of thinking that I don't like my job or I don't like my partner. It's because they stopped seeking novelty in that relationship, seeking novelty in that job. Yes, every job becomes mundane. I have surgeons that say that their job is boring, right? But when you wake up every morning and show up for work with an innovation mindset, this is what changes everything at work. And if you work in a team that is joyful, in a culture that is constructive and positive, you're going to love showing up to work with a mindset or with a lens of how can I do this job better? How can I interact with my team to do brainstorming to improve what we do? That's why the search for constant and never-ending improvement is a daily exercise. That's why the companies that come out of nowhere and become absolute superstars is because they have their innovation mindset and they don't fall for the trap of having people at work that are chasing the job of their dreams or the relationship of their dreams or the friendship of their dreams. You make the relationship, you make the job. And the way to make the job is to master it. And don't mistake mastering for boredom and then looking at ways to improve on doing the same job, not changing jobs, just doing the job better. So to recap, and these are top learnings for work because it was a game changer in our office. We haven't had one resignation in the last 6 months, and we are a team of close to 400 people now. That's a phenomenal statistic. During the pandemic, so many companies lost people who just said, I've had enough because of a toxic work culture. So number one, let's recap the top learnings for work. Focus on happiness at work by focusing on the team that you work with. Make sure that you work in a team that brings you joy, a team that supports each other. Secondly, master your craft. Whatever job that you're doing, master it. Keep training, learning. Human nature is that we start to love and enjoy what we are really good at. So master that. The third tip is to then, once you master something and you know that this is the job that you love and the team that you love, then focus on waking up and going to work with that innovation mindset. And I don't care what job you are currently doing. It doesn't matter what it is. There is always room for improvement. There is always a way to do some things better. I mean, that's progress. That's what I talked about earlier with learning. Learning primes us for progress because we are hardwired for growth. So personal growth, professional growth happens when you are focused on that progress, when you are focused on continuous learning. Okay, now let's move on to my learnings for friendship. And this is a big one because my learnings in 2021 is we had such limited time and we started really, just like in relationships, we started focusing on what we really want. The life is too short to spend with people that don't share the common standards and common values. Now, focusing on friendships with common values and common standards is liberating because you don't feel the need to try and force a friendship that you know deep down is not working. Now, once you do that and you know who your real friends are, that's when you start to appreciate that social connection is essential for our well-being. Now, everything keeps going back to health. You notice the seven other areas of life all relate back to health. And if you go to our website, ahigherbranch.com, you'll see a diagram which depicts health in the middle. And your health, your energy is fed by the seven other areas of life that dance in the circle around your health. So when it comes to friendship, we are absolutely hardwired for connection, which is why during the pandemic, stress levels went up, suicide went up, because we lost that connection. Connection on social media does not count. If anything, it was counterproductive because there were so many keyboard warriors who were suddenly experts on epidemiology and immunology. I mean, it's utter nonsense, right? So friendship on social media, it does not count. The other top learning about friendship is that it's not just about having common standards and common values. It's also about having things in common. Remember when you were a little kid and you would meet a friend and you say, oh, I have so much in common. It was easy for us to make friends because we would focus on people that had things in common. Usually it was a sport or a hobby, right? So we need to get back to that simplicity of making friends. For me, the litmus test for friends is I choose friends that make me laugh, friends that make me happy. So I avoid friends who talk religion, politics, and anything that is contentious because they're sitting on social media learning all this crap that's going on in the world that they can't control, and then they want to meet up with you and talk about that. No. Tell me about your goals and dreams for the year. Tell me about what you did this week in the gym. What did you learn from reading a particular book? What did you learn from your family, right? I learn a lot of things from my kids all the time. I always try and keep friends who are focused on the eight areas of life. And they're the areas of commonality for me. Like, what have you learned in health? What have you learned with your family, in your relationship, at work? What ideas and innovations have you come up at work that I can learn from? This is really the ultimate test for you to decide on who you should become friends with. Okay, now let's move on to learning. My top tip for you here and things that I learned in 2021 is that learning comes from books and audiobooks, because books and audiobooks have been written with deliberate precision by authors who are pioneers and who have learned things over many, many years. Learning is not from YouTube. Learning is not from TV. Learning is not from watching the news, because everyone has an angle. If anyone's trying to sell you something, I always say follow the money trail, then disconnect from that message. My experience, people don't write books to make money. There is no money in books. Trust me, right? They write because they come from a place of love and sharing. And I've met a lot of people over the years who are authors, and, you know, they have their practice, whether they're psychologists, and they earn their money from their daily job. But all those years of practice, they've learned so many things, and they write amazing books, as I said, that we can digest in a few hours or a few days. So my learning here, 2021, is disconnect from media and focus on books and audiobooks. Trust me, it's going to liberate a lot of time and a lot of energy and dissipate a lot of stress. The next area is wealth. What I've learned in 2021, and my caution for you in 22 and beyond, because we just don't know what's going to happen in the world. I'm not spreading fear here. I'm an optimist. But put yourself in a position of optimism. And to do that, know that debt is a trap. So my advice to you is, if you own a home or you're buying a home, make sure that your debt levels is below 50%. Make sure that you have enough equity. The other learning, and this is something that I'm sharing with my private wealth clients, is build up a nest egg independent of your mortgage equity in your home. Independent of that, it can be money that you put in your offset account or money that you put in another account. But these days, look, you're not earning much by putting it in the bank. So the best place to put it is in an offset account. Calculate what it's going to cost you if all things fell apart in the world and we enter a worldwide recession, and calculate your mortgage repayments, your food costs, your entertainment costs, your car running costs. Whatever it is that runs your life that costs you money, calculate what that is and then save enough for 2 years. In other words, if everything stops, you lose your job, you don't have a source of income, you have at least 2 years worth of living sitting in the bank. Now, I know that's a lot, but that's my advice. And my advice to you is to start saving that nest egg to make your personal finances bulletproof. Because if you are under the age of 35 in Australia in particular, you haven't lived through a recession. You don't know how tough it is. So you might have real estate and think to yourself, oh, that's okay. If I get in trouble, I can sell some real estate. But you know, when there's a recession, suddenly what you think you're going to get for your real estate becomes a fire sale, and it will be heartbreaking for you. I've been through two recessions in the past, and as a lawyer, I've advised and seen some people who've gone through some heartache. And it's purely not because they were asset poor, it's because they were cash flow poor, and they didn't have the cash there that would ride them out of any recession. The biggest downturns we've had in history have only lasted 18 months. Think about that, 18 months. And I'm advising you, my learning is that have 2 years. 2 years of funds that will get you through that. Because if you do decide to sell assets, you don't have to rush into it. It's not a fire sale. So that's my top learning in the area of wealth. Now, lastly, my learning in the area of charity, which fills a fundamental human need for contribution, is that making a contribution starts with yourself, with your family, with your work colleagues, with your friends, and at work with your customers. So look for ways to make a contribution in the eight areas of life. Making a contribution doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be giving money to charities. It doesn't have to be as grand as running, you know, marathons to raise money or to volunteer. Look for little ways, right? Because when you start thinking that making contribution is, you know, a big thing, then you're not going to do it. Whereas listening to a friend is making a contribution. That is charity. So my advice is to stop giving advice and actually start listening. Stop talking and start listening, because honestly, 99% of people just want to be heard, and that is making a contribution. If you are a lawyer, you're making a contribution in your work. If you're a mortgage broker, you're putting people in homes or consolidating their debts. If you are a plumber, you're making a difference to the enjoyment of their home, their enjoyment of whether it's having a shower or turning on the tap. You know, focus on the contribution you're making. When you do a job out of love, that is making a difference. That is your form of charity. And don't fall for the trap of thinking that charity is giving money to charitable organizations. Again, I see that as a distraction, as disempowering. It's like you give us your money and that'll make you feel good. No, no, no. Focus on making a difference with the people in the eight areas of life. Okay, on that note, they're my top learnings for 2021. Now, as I said at the outset of this podcast, welcome to Higher Branch in 2022. Apologies, it's taken so long to kick it off. And stay tuned for the 7 episodes on the 7 S's to your health. And after that, I'm going to be kicking off another new series on the Circle of Conscious Living. So thank you again for listening to this week's episode. And until next time, as always, live consciously, my friends.